Yeah, build that gallows, build it higher. Who are our friends? Who is telling us what life is really like? Who is telling us what we're really like? Who is giving us that sane estimate? And are we listening to them? And this is an example of how that happened in the movie As Good As It Gets.
I might be the only person on the face of the earth that knows the greatest woman on earth. I might be the only one who appreciates how amazing you are in every single thing that you do. And how you are with Spence. And then every single thought that you have, and how you say what you mean, and how you almost always mean something that's all about being straight and good. I think most people miss that about you. And I watched them wondering how they can watch you bring their food and clear their tables and never forget they just met the greatest woman alive. And the fact that I get it makes me feel good about me.
In the movie, Helen Hunt plays a waitress, okay, in a not very fancy, I mean, it's basically a diner in New York, okay, and, you know, breakfast and lunch kind of thing, you know, this isn't a high-end restaurant, you know, she waiting tables and clearing away, so from a, you know, the rest of the world standpoint, everybody looks at her and said, yeah, she, you know, she brings me my breakfast, but to this character, he sees her like no one else and has now told her. And that ending line where he says, is that something that's bad for you to hear? We need people. I need people. You need people who are going to encourage us. We also need those same people got to have permission to kick us in the butt every once in a while, because we all need that. But we also need people who are on our team. We need people who are on our team. Because there's going to come a time when the truth comes out. And when it does, it's not going to be real pretty. And Jesus did that with the Pharisees, didn't he? Here's a scene of Jesus in the temple from Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus Christ and Pharisees, hypocrites all! For you set up the kingdom of heaven against men. You do not come in yourselves, nor do you let others enter. Blind guides! And swallow a camel. You bow before the letter of the law and hide the heart of the law. Justice, mercy, good faith. You are like wicked sepulchres, all clean and fair with us, but we live full of dead men's bones and all corruption.
So what does Jesus call these guys? Hypocrites, right? A hypocrite is the exact opposite of someone with integrity. So, and when Jesus calls them this word, he has a very specific idea in mind, because the word picture for hypocrite comes from the Greek theater. In Greek theater back then, when you acted, you didn't come out and smile or frown. You wore a mask. They had these large masks. Remember, there was no close-up. There was no instant replay. You saw from wherever you were able to sit in the amphitheater. So to be able to tell what kind of emotion they had, they wore these masks. Maybe you recall on theaters, they, you know, the two masks, one of smiling and the one frown for a theater, that's where it comes from. A hypocrite is a person that says, on the outside, I look like one thing, I'm saying one thing. But what's on the inside is somebody different, is something really different. And that's what Jesus is telling them. He's saying, what you look like on the outside is radically different than who you are on the inside. And he gave a lot of examples, didn't he? He did. And when he did that, he told them in no uncertain terms, they had no integrity. They were hypocrites. And when you're a hypocrite, you get pushed around. You get pushed around. But when you're a person of integrity, you can stand. It's like what David said. This is written by King David. He says, may integrity and uprightness do what? Preserve me, for I wait for you. Now you're wondering, why does he have that graphic, that picture? Does anybody know what this is a picture of?
Rowboat.
I'm sorry?
Rowboat.
Rowboat. No. Rowboat. Good. I'm sorry? Which one?
Space
one. Isn't he a great son to have? This is what you go into in Space Mountain, okay, in Disney World. Now, when it says to preserve, what is going to, what happens in Space Mountain?
You're in the dark.
You're in the dark, and you're riding, you can't see which way it's going to turn. You go up and down and left and right. And you would be thrown out if it wasn't for something that preserves you. The bar comes down across you and holds you into place. And if you have three grains of common sense, you hold on to that, okay? When he says preserve me, integrity is to preserve me, it holds us in place. It's the thing that comes down, and as the world whips us around and tries to get us to do what we don't want to do, but we do because we want to be liked. And why is it? Let me ask this question. Why is integrity important? Who cares? Why do we have to have integrity? What's the big deal?
Without it, there's nothing to believe in.
Without it, there's nothing to believe in. In other words, think about it this way. Some of you bought a house, you bought a car, right? And made a promise. You paid for it, you got it. What's to stop them from taking it from you? Integrity, right? The integrity of the agreement. The reason integrity is important is because God is the God of integrity. Does God change? No. By just who he is. He has integrity. You know, Jesus Christ is the same when?
Yesterday,
today, and tomorrow, forever. He is never changed. That means he's got integrity of who he is. God says in Malachi, I am God. Yes, I am. And what? I have not changed. And what's the benefit of God not changing? We don't get destroyed. God doesn't change his mind. Maybe you grew up with somebody who one moment was a certain way, next moment you got hit upside the head. I don't know if you've seen the movie, I Can Only Imagine, about the guy who wrote and sang that song. His picture of his father was that of a monster, a tyrant, because he was a drunk, and you never knew what you were going to get. In a bad way, it was Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. You never knew what you were going to get, and he didn't. But with God, God doesn't change. And because of that, we can have peace with God, peace with ourselves, because life is not a calm pond, okay? Life is a raging storm, and we're like a sailboat, we're like a boat on this raging storm. What's to hold us? I'll tell you what holds you when you're out there and you want to stay in one place. What is it?
An anchor.
But guess what? One anchor is never enough. Because you need an anchor in the rear of the boat. The truth of who God is, the truth that Jesus Christ died for our sins once and for all, that is the truth that holds us. Also, there is faith. Faith that says right here, right now, God is in control and is going to take care of me. And then there's hope for the future that says I'm anchored and the future. God is going to do what he said he was going to do. He's going to keep his promises. Andy Stanley tells a story that he and his wife and some other couples went out on a vacation and they got in one of these sailboats and they were down in the Caribbean. And all of a sudden, without warning, the captain says, okay, we're heading in. And they're not near anywhere. So they pull into a cove in an island. And then the captain gets out, gets in the little dinghy, and starts running. He goes out from the front of the boat, runs a line over to a mangrove, ties it up. Then he goes out the back, the stern of the boat, ties it up to another one. Then he goes off of both sides, to the right and the left, the port and the starboard, and anchors the boat with other trees. That night, a violent storm came in and tore the place up, but they were safe. They were safe because they were anchored on all these different sides. You see, if we just say, well, my anchor, you know, there's the old hymn, my anchor holds. What a great hymn. But we need more than one anchor. We need the anchor in the front, the future in the back, our past and the present. Because without it, we're going to wind up just like Fort Myers did when Hurricane Ian came through, right? We cannot always run from the storms, but we can ride them out. And we can ride them out by being people of integrity, meaning what we say, because we say God is with us and God never changes. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because there is a great pull on us. Serve one of two masters, right? God or money, power, possessions, a reputation, my name, what I have. You can only serve one of them. You can't serve both of them. We have to make a choice, and we will always choose the one we really believe in. We will. In the TV series The Chosen, there's been this character who's been floating in and out. His name is Gaius. He's a Roman soldier and moves up the ranks, helps Peter at one point. And in the fourth season, he has a wife and two kids, and one of the kids is sick. And he comes to Jesus. This Roman comes to Jesus.
Lord, you are. will need to say the word, and he will be healed. Not worthy. The truth about the child is actually my son. I am so ashamed that she be asking you, but I am. I know you can do it.
He shows himself, Gaius shows himself to be a man of integrity. He drops his guard. He is totally transparent. He admits to an extramarital affair and the child that's in his family. He admits all of that to Jesus, knowing that, you made your own bed. You go figure it out, right? No, he comes to Jesus and says, you can fix this. And when Jesus says, well, I'll take me to him. What does he say? I'm not worthy. A man of integrity before God. I am not worthy. The scene ends.
Do not trouble yourself. You can heal him from a distance with only a word of command. I also have authority with men under me. If I say to one, go, he goes. If I say to another, come, he comes. Anything you command in this world will happen. I know it. Even this.
Stand up. What? Rise. Joy is this man. Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I was rejected in my own hometown, and I am threatened by the religious leaders of my own people. And yet this man, a Gentile, has more bold confidence in what he believes that I can do than anyone I have yet encountered. Go. It has been done for you according to your belief.
Our faith can be pleasing to God. Can you imagine that? Our desire to please Him can be pleasing to the one who made us, to the one who died for us. We were not made just to bounce around. God gave us a purpose. There are things He wants you and I to do. And just like Gaius, it starts with admitting with transparency just exactly who we are. Broken. Not just broken, but there is a trail of brokenness behind us that we carry with us. Some people call it the junk in our trunk. Gaius doesn't try to hide it, and neither should we. He comes to Jesus, and Jesus says, go. Now, what proof does Gaius have that it's done? He has the word of Jesus. He doesn't open up his phone and get on a call with a camera to check it out. He's not looking for a text message to show that the kid's actually done. He has the promise of God. In the story, it's really clever and very touching. Gaius leaves here, and what would you think he would do? Run home, right? That's what I would do. Run home. He doesn't. It shows Gaius running from store to store, buying presents, buying something to eat, to sell, you know, for a celebration for when he gets home. He buys toys for both of the boys, you know, and then he comes home and the boy runs to him. He acted in faith, not just to receive, but then to share the joy that he had. He bought things to share. He was generous. I think that's really the mark of integrity. Is it doesn't mean you got a lot. You don't have to have a lot. But am I sharing what I got? And God wants that for you and me. Our faith is to please him. And God will open doors for you. I can guarantee it. You know how I know that? Why he would do this, I have no idea. Tuesday was a day. You ever have a day that's a day? You know what I mean by a day? I get this call from someone who's living in a different part of the country. Their husband's in the hospital. Their husband's got dementia, going downhill. They've just slipped and fell and having a mild concussion. And they got a sinus headache. They got infected sinuses. Their world is flying apart. What do I do? I can't explain it, but the words came out of my mouth before I could stop them. You ever do that for me? I say, would you, and you can say no, I always say, would you mind if I prayed for you? Oh, would you? So I prayed for them, right there. Not a big deal, just something to nurture them, encourage them. Wow. Tuesday is great, right? What could be better, right? Do you ever make a phone call you don't intend to make? You ever touch your phone and somehow it makes a call? What is that called? A butt dial. A butt dial, okay. I didn't want to say it because people get funny. So anyway, I make a butt dial to a guy I know, lives in Southern Florida. He calls me back, of course. So I ask him what's going on, and he goes, and he's telling me where he is in his life and things. And again, this guy is not a believer, okay? As a matter of fact, he professes a different faith. And I, again, the words just sort of slipped out. I said, would you mind if I, and say no if you don't want this. Would you mind if I prayed for you? Oh, would you please? And then you got the question of what do you pray for? And how do you pray? Because this guy doesn't believe Jesus is God. So do you say, just say God is our Father and leave it natural, you know, like that? I figure I'm on the phone. What's he going to do, right? He can delete my number. So I start the prayer out. Lord God, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and paid the price for our sins once and for all. Amen. And we were off and running. And at the end I said, he was so thankful. And let me tell you, I am nothing. I am a nobody, okay? I don't have any training. I don't have any degrees. I'm just like you. In every sense of the word. We need to do that more often and not run away from it. Be people of integrity before a watching world. Again, I say those stories not to impress anybody, but to tell you if God can use somebody with my past and my problems that I still have, you're a shoo-in to be used by God. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, I'm so grateful that you use people like us, that you're not ashamed of us, that you died for us and you rose from the dead. And oh God, we pray for that we would not deny you, that we would be people of integrity before a watching world. In Jesus' name, amen.